Welcome to Bolts and Bats in the Bay, a podcast brought to you by FL Teams. FL Teams is a top Florida sports source dedicated to providing in-depth analysis and coverage for all Florida sports, including college and professional sports teams. Remember to go to flteams.com and follow on all the social media sites. And this podcast is sponsored by our good friends at Symbol. Symbol is the stock market for sports that allows you to trade sports teams like stocks and earn cash payouts when your teams win. Symbol has blended sports and the stock market to offer you a new way to invest in and profit off your favorite team. Use your sports knowledge to buy low, sell high, and earn cash payouts when your teams win. Join the thousands of early adopters who have started to profit off their sports knowledge. Visit www.simbull.com or visit the link in the description to create a free account. And when you deposit, make sure to use the promo code FLTEAMS for a $10 deposit bonus to help build your portfolio. Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Jeff Macalino. And as always, I'll give you a run through the week or week and a half that was for your two-time back-to-back Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning and your two-time AL East back-to-back champions Tampa Bay Rays. We'll start with the Lightning, but potentially the bigger news is in the other side of the bay with the Rays. But we'll start with the Lightning. As always, this is going to be the roughest episode of Bolts and Bats in the Bay as far as talking about the Lightning, to be quite honest. Since we last spoke, the Lightning have gone 2-3, including losing back-to-back games in regulation for the first time all season. This coming, of course, on the heels of a 5-game win streak. So it's not like, you know, overall 7-3 in their last 10 games is not a devastating record. But the Lightning have such a high expectation that frankly, it gets disappointing when they go a stretch with a rocky road, so to speak. And can't blame injuries because they're actually healthy, like 100%, or, you know, as close as you can be in a sport as physical as hockey right now. So Bogosian back, Chernak back, obviously the forwards have been back. I'll run through the games real quick, the 5 games. A couple of them, honestly, maybe three of the most disappointing games of the season for the Lightning have been in this last 5-game stretch. Things started out, and this is an overall trend with the Lightning. They're giving up early goals, falling behind in seemingly every game. And the Lightning have shown they're capable. They've got the firepower to come back. Everyone knows that that's watched this team. But it's a disappointing trend because the Lightning can be so good when they have that early lead with Vasi and net. And again, they just haven't started games correctly. And we'll start by talking about the game against the Pittsburgh Penguins, where they gave up 2 goals in the first 6 minutes and 27 seconds of the first period. And that was a hole they just never got out of. They were dominated in that first period. The officials chimed in and really, John Cooper got ejected for the first time in his career. I can read lips. He was yelling at the officials that they were, you know, favoring America's team, meaning the Penguins, of course. Some bad calls, but the Lightning also played terribly. Let's be real. They dropped that game 5-1, the only goal for Belmar in the second period, which did bring it to 2-1. The Lightning did look like they were closing in, maybe getting some momentum there in the second. There was a kerfluffle where they called extra they called the penalty on the Lightning instead of Pittsburgh, which was a mess. But regardless, disappointing game from start to finish for the Lightning in that one. That's a couple of really bad games going back to the beginning of the season against Pittsburgh this year. Maybe a team that they'll see again in the postseason. the next game was the only game, I believe, in this stretch that they didn't allow a early first period goal. They played the Detroit Red Wings, and the Lightning scored first. In the second period, Braden Point on the power play, his 22nd goal, gave the Lightning a 1-0 lead that didn't last all that long. Detroit tied it up later in the second, but the Lightning in the third period get a goal from Mikhail Sergachev on the power play. Actually, all three of the Lightning goals in this game were power play goals. The last one by Stamkos with an empty net, his 27th of the season. And the Lightning take a 3-1 victory over Detroit in a game that they really controlled this one. 38 shots for the Lightning, 23 for Detroit against Brian Elliott. A nice convincing win for the Lightning after the disappointing game against Pittsburgh. Then the Lightning traveled to Chicago to take on the Blackhawks. Again, 7:51 in the first period, the Lightning give up a goal to fall behind. But early in the second period, Taylor Radish added his 5th goal of the season. That tie didn't last long as Patrick Kane scored to put Chicago back out in front. But then Victor Hedman, his 12th goal of the season, and Cal Foote, his first of the season, gave the Lightning a 3-2 lead at the end of the second period. Victor Hedman added another in the third. Corey Perry, this was a 32-second span of delight. This is a 3-2 game at the start of the third period, 1:51 into the third. Victor Hedman adds his 2nd goal of the game, 13th of the season. 13 seconds later, Corey Perry added a goal, his 16th of the season. And 19 seconds later, Mikhail Sergachev added his 5th goal. Just like that, in a span of 32 seconds, the Lightning went from having a 3-2 lead to a 6-2 lead. And this one was over quick. Chicago added one more, so the final was 6-3. A fun display by the Lightning that kind of goes to what I spoke of before. They can make up deficits and put up goals really fast sometimes. But obviously it's ideal to not put yourself in that position night after night after night. Speaking of, the next game, traveling to Winnipeg. This is a long road trip for the Lightning and West Coast, so the games are going to be late coming up. I'll talk about that more in a second. But the Winnipeg Jets was the next game, and the Lightning were down 2-0, 6 minutes and 11 seconds into the game. There's that story again. The Lightning did battle back, and at the end of the first period, it was tied at 3-3. McDonough, Killorn, Hedman all scored. The Lightning did give up another goal. Second period was a period of peace after the freewheeling, high-flying first period. The third period, though, the Lightning gave up 3 goals within a 7-minute span to the Jets. A power play goal, then a shorthanded goal, and Josh Morrissey added another to make it 6-3. Colton did score his 10th goal of the season to bring the Lightning back for just a brief second, but then a aggressive goalie pull led to another goal for Winnipeg. The Lightning dropped this game 7-4. In a game that, again, was obviously defensively not a good outing. But they have to expend so much energy to come back from a 2-goal deficit twice in the first period. You know, you have to think that wears on a team. And it sure looked like it did. Then the latest game at Calgary, and Calgary is one of the best teams in the NHL, so this was a good matchup. A frustrating game. Johnny Gaudreau scored in the first by shooting a puck from behind the net off of Vasilevsky and in. Obviously, Vasilevsky never saw it. Alex Killorn tied things up late in the second period to bring the Lightning back. This was a pretty evenly matched game to this point. The Lightning were making some sloppy mistakes, but things just a 52-second span. The last minute of the second period, Gaudreau added another goal. And with 8 seconds left, Calgary added a third goal to take a 3-1 lead into the third. Gaudreau added in, got the hat trick in the third period, the final score in that one, 4-1. The first two goals, by the way, were the same, bouncing it from behind the net off of Vasilevsky's back and in. So Vasi was pretty frustrated after that one. Steven Stamkos got hit hard from behind late in this one and got some revenge. Not often you see the captain drop the gloves, but he tackled and got a few right hands in there before the refs pulled him off. He was the only one who got the penalty because didn't even give the other guy a chance to throw a punch. So I like to see that fight out of Stamkos. And after the game, he kind of chuckled when they talked about the Lightning slumping, being that it is the first time all season they've lost back-to-back games in regulation. You know, that's a high bar that you set when that's a slump. The Lightning are in second place in the Atlantic Division, currently 5 points behind the hot-again Panthers, who have won 5 straight. Lightning do have a game in hand. Again, 5 points back. They're only 1 point ahead of Toronto, who has also played a game more than them. And they are 5 points ahead of Boston, who has also played a game more than them. The Lightning do obviously want to remain in that top three in the division, ideally, although really the Eastern Conference teams are pretty well set. It's going to be the Panthers, Lightning, Maple Leafs, and Bruins. There's a 20-point gap between the Bruins and Red Wings. And then in the Metropolitan, it's going to be the Hurricanes, the Rangers, the Penguins, and the Capitals, who have a pretty decent margin over the Columbus Blue Jackets. So those are going to be the 8 teams in the Eastern Conference right now. And as I've said before, the Lightning, the last 2 years, haven't won their division, and they won the Cup. So not overly concerned about the seed necessarily for the Lightning. Remember, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whatever it's been, they set a record in the regular season for their record and got swept in the first round by Columbus. So, you know, some teams can turn it on a little bit extra in the postseason. Over the next week, back-to-back games Saturday, Sunday at Edmonton and at Vancouver, and then a couple days off before they are at Seattle. All of those games start at 10 p.m. Eastern time, so late night with the Bolts. That game is Wednesday, March 16th, and then they return home for just one game next Saturday against the New York Rangers. That one will be on ABC, nationally televised. Switching to the Rays. Hey, baseball is back. The labor agreement has been made, agreed to by the owners and the players. The lockout is lifted. Spring training games are going to start March 18th, so just coming up real soon. The schedule should come out any day now. Regular season will begin. Opening day will be April 7th for the Rays. Their opening day will be April 8th in the regularly scheduled home opener against the Orioles. Then the Athletics. It's a 7-game homestand for the Rays. It will be a full 162. The games that were canceled, the series against Boston and Toronto, those will be made up as doubleheaders, probably. Some good news with the changes, and some I don't like, but for most of the rule changes don't take effect until next year, 2023. So there's going to be a pitch clock, a ban on defensive shifts, which I think is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, and larger bases, which also puzzles me as to the rationale there. However, those things don't take effect until 2023. So the idiotic rule banning defensive shifts, we don't have to worry about that for, you know, 365 more days. The biggest change is there is a universal designated hitter this year, which adds the DH to the National League, which I think is good. You know, I'm not all old school. The other big change is the playoffs. Instead of 10 teams, it has expanded to 12. So instead of a 1-game wild card between the 4 and the 5, basically the 2 wild card teams, the first round will now be best of 3. The 3 seed, who is the division winner with the worst record, will face the 3rd wild card, so the 6th seed. And the 4 seed, the 1st wild card, faces the 2nd wild card, the 4 and the 5 seed. 3-game series, all 3 games at the higher seeded team's home. So, for example, if the Rays were the 4 seed and the Yankees are the 5 seed, the 3-game series is at Tropicana Field. And then the 1 and the 2 seed get a bye week, and their first round games will be a 5-game series. And then, of course, the LCS and the World Series remain the same, best of 7. So a couple more spots in the playoffs open up. I think that's fine. I do kind of prefer the 3-game, quick 3-game series as opposed to a 1-game playoff. I've always thought that, you know, it's kind of a coin flip as to what starting pitcher is the hottest for that game. So I don't mind it. A lot of other things involving money, you know, higher minimum salary, some competitive balance tax increases in the thresholds, all that stuff. You know, I'm not going to bore you with that. The main thing is the universal DH, the expanded playoffs. We're getting 162 games. Spring training is going to be short. And here's the other thing. Things are going to start going off like crazy. The Rays made a couple moves before the lockout, signing Corey Kluber. That was a big one. They traded Joey Wendell to the Marlins. A lot of thought is that the Rays still are going to trade a player or two. Austin Meadows and Kevin Kiermaier are probably the ones I've been seeing rumored the most. The Rays also probably want to add a right-handed bat. There's a lot of free agents out there, including last year's big right-handed bat addition, Nelson Cruz. He hasn't announced retirement, so he'll probably be looking at his age at another 1-year deal. Maybe the Rays can budget for that. Who knows? Freddie Freeman's still out there. Carlos Correa, Trevor Story. There's a lot of good free agents. Chris Bryant. There's a lot of good free agents. Clayton Kershaw, by the way, is still out there. So a lot of moves are going to be happening in Major League Baseball. Stay tuned. Follow FL Teams on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, because news will be breaking a lot over this next probably 2 weeks. Big free agents still out there. Again, I do think the Rays are likely to make at least one big roster move, some kind of trade. You know, we will see where the dust settles. But the main takeaway is here is that baseball is back, which everyone has to be happy about. And ultimately, as frustrating as this all has been, I mean, spring training got delayed a little bit, obviously, which, you know, stinks for the towns that have spring training teams, you know, that are there training for a month and then playing spring training games. It stinks for the cities like Dunedin and Port Charlotte and all of them. But ultimately, we're getting 162 games. Basically just a week later opening day than we expected. I do expect probably a lot of teams will, starting pitchers will be having some shorter outings the first couple weeks of the season while they build up their arms, since they don't have as long to do so in spring training. But we will see how that all goes. All right, everyone. That'll wrap it up for this week for Bolts and Bats in the Bay. Please feel free to hit me up. Follow me on Twitter at SaintJMac, SaintJMac. And follow FL Teams on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Go to the website flteams.com, and hey, stay tuned on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. We're doing live broadcast, FL Teams Live, every Wednesday. Check it out. Make it appointment viewing. It's fun. You can interact with us, make comments that'll come through to us, and if they're good, maybe we'll respond to them. So keep your eye out on that, and always keep your eye on flteams.com for all your best Florida sports news and coverage.